At the Inspirational Living Podcast, we encourage entrepreneurship. But if you've ever tried to start a new business, it seems like your to-do list keeps growing every day. Finding the right tool that not only helps you out, but simplifies everything, can be a real game changer. For millions of small business owners, that tool is Shopify. 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. is powered by Shopify. Do you know why? Well, for one thing, Shopify has hundreds of ready-to-use templates that make it easy to build a beautiful online store to match your brand's style. Shopify also accelerates your content creation. They're packed with helpful AI tools that write product descriptions, page headlines, and even enhance your product photography. And perhaps most importantly, Shopify provides world-class expertise in everything from managing inventory to international shipping, to processing returns and beyond. Turn your big business idea into with Shopify on your side. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling at shopify.com/inspirational. Go to shopify.com/inspirational. shopify.com/inspirational. Welcome to Our Sunday Talks, an exclusive series for the patrons of the Inspirational Living Podcast. Today's talk was edited and adapted from What is Worthwhile by Anna Robertson Brown, published in 1893. We only have one life to live. We all want to do our best with it. We all want to make the most of it. How can we best get hold of it? How can we accomplish the most with the energies and powers at our command? What is worthwhile? We all ask ourselves this question. It is especially common upon graduating from university. But our first years out of college are apt to be anxious, unsatisfactory, disappointing. Time slips away in further preparation, in experiment, in useless or misdirected efforts. The world does not prove to be the same that it seemed to be in the quiet college surroundings. Duty is not so clear as then, nor work so well defined. Life is harder to handle than we thought. One finds that theories fail, and yet one has not had positive experiences enough to know just where the difficulty lies. It is of a few simple things that my own life has proved true that I shall speak with you today. Life is large. We cannot possibly grasp the whole of it in the few years that we have to live. What is vital? What is essential? What may we profitably let go? Let us ask ourselves these questions. To begin with, what may we let go? Who shall say? By what standard shall we measure? By what authority decide? Each of us must answer that question for ourselves. But when I look for an answer, I find only one that satisfies me. It is this: we may let go of all things which we cannot carry into the eternal life. To me, this is a deep truth and a positive one. Surely it is not worthwhile for us to encumber our lives with the things which we can grasp at best for but a little time, when we may lay hold of things that shall be ours for 10,000 times 10,000 years. We may drop the pretense. Eternity is not good for shams. In its clear light, the false selves that we have wrought about us like a garment will shrivel and fall away, whatever we really are, that let us be in all fearlessness. Whatever we are not, that let us cease striving to seem to be. If we can rid ourselves of all untruth of word, manner, mode of life, and thinking, we shall rid our lives of much rubbish, restlessness, and fear. Let us hide nothing, and we shall not be afraid of being found out. Let us put on nothing, and we shall never cringe. Let us assume nothing, and we shall not be mortified. Let us do and say nothing untrue, and we shall not fear to have the deepest springs of our lives sought out, nor our most secret motive analyzed. Nothing gives such upright dignity of mien as the consciousness, I am what I appear to be. About me there is no make-believe. We may drop the worry. The eternal life is serene. It is not careworn, nor knows it any foreboding of future ill. Can we not take to ourselves its large spirit of serenity and cheer? For only the serene soul is strong. Every moment of worry weakens the soul for its daily combat. Worry is an infirmity. There is no virtue in it. Worry is spiritual nearsightedness, a fumbling way of looking at little things and of magnifying their value. True spiritual vision sweeps the universe and sees things in their right proportion. Let us hang life on the line, as painters say, and look at it honestly. Seen in their true relations, there is no experience of life over which one has a right to worry about. Ruskin says, God gives us always strength enough and sense enough for everything he wants us to do. That is a thought that comforts me. It is not lack of ability that often worries us. It is lack of a little savoir-faire. It is not our failures that distress us, so much as our idiocies. We may let go of discontent. In all the eternal years, there is no murmur from any restless heart. In its vast silences, how trivial would sound the complainings of our harassed days. In its great songs of praise, how our frettings would be drowned out. In life, I find two things that make for discontent. One is a lack of harmony with one's environment. The other is dissatisfaction with one's present opportunities. Of these, the first may be overcome, and the second put out of one's life. A congenial environment is not one of the essentials of living. Present opportunities, if rightly used, are as great as the soul need ask. Which of us can sit down at the close of a day and say, today I have done all that was in my power to do for humanity and goodness? Ah, no, we look for large things and forget that which is close at hand. To take life as God gives it and not as we want it, and then make the best of it, is the hard lesson that life puts before the human soul to learn. One's environment may be very disagreeable. It may bring constant hurts of heart, mortification, tears, angry rebellion, and wounded pride. But there is a reason for that environment. To become strong, the soul must need fight something, overcome something. It cannot gain muscle on the bed of eiderdown. A great part of the strength of life consists in the degree with which we get into harmony with our appointed environment. So long as we are at war with our town, our relatives, our family, our station, and our surroundings, so long will much of the force of our lives be spent uselessly, aimlessly. A good way to get into harmony with one's environment is to try to understand it first, and then to begin to adapt ourselves to it, so far as may be possible. We can never work well while there is friction in our lives, nor gain in our work that beauty which is born of power, and the sympathy which is born of love. Let us say, God put me among these scenes, these people, these opportunities, these duties. He is neither absent-minded nor incompetent. This is exactly the place He means me to be in, the place I am capable of filling. There is no mistake. My life is in its proper setting. But with this thought in mind, we need not sit down in idleness. There are things in the circumstances of our lives that we can change. There are opportunities that our own efforts may enlarge. We can conquer many of the difficulties that beset our career, and so conquering be strong. I believe more and more that there is no impediment that cannot be overcome, no hindrance to usefulness that cannot be removed. If we go through life timidly, weakly, ineffectively, the fault is neither with our endowment nor our environment. It is with ourselves. It is we that are not competent for life. We that are lazy, cowardly, idle. When one sets themselves to live a grand life, no one can interrupt them. God will not. As for our opportunities, we can make a heroic life out of whatever is set before us to work with or upon. Latch on to your ideal and work it out therefrom. And working, believe, live, be free. The ideal is in thyself. The impediment, too, is in thyself. Your current condition is but the stuff you are to shape that same ideal out of. What matters whether such stuff be of this sort or that? So the form you give it be heroic, be poetic. If you are pining away for a kingdom wherein to rule and create, know this truth. The thing you seek is already within you. It's there or nowhere, if you could only see. Lastly, let me say that we may let go of self-seeking. In the eternal life there is no greed. One hears of neither mine nor thine. All things are for all. As the waters fled away from Tantalus, the son of Zeus, so do the good things of life flee from the grasping and selfish spirit. The richest experiences of life never come to those who try to win them selfishly. If they do gain their desires, they find them as ashes to the tongue. But all blessings flow to those who, forgetful of self, try to be helpful to the world, and who spend their lives in loving deeds.